Young Black City Geeks, remember the name. Bells ring, rip counts to falls. Rising legends as a ring the calls. From the main event to indie halls. Soup Black City Geeks, we cheer it all. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Suplex City Geeks. It's been a minute since we've done that. But yeah, that's our new intro. It's pretty freaking cool.
God, we're slow.
Dude, it sounded like one of those like the Raw entrances and shit.
Oh, it reminded me, what was it? Damn, I forgot which group did it. That funky one of the whoa.
Right, yeah.
You just gotta be loved.
But yeah, what's going on, everybody? Well, we're right here. Well, of course, you know, we usually have regular geeky shit, but we're doing the other thing that it's more specific to our geekiness, and that is wrestling. We love wrestling. That's why we have this old other little subgenre of our geekiness here. Well, I just honestly, said the same whatever. Thing like 18 times. But yeah.
Well, you already know, dude. Like, you know, when it comes to pro wrestling or whatever, it is a different level of geek because, you know, like there, you know, like how we talked about it in the past, that, you know, sports geek is a different level of like, you know, comic book geeks and stuff
that. For sure. Absolutely.
You know, and when it comes to like professional wrestling, you know, there's a fandom. You know,
there's a huge fandom. Absolutely.
Honestly, whatever. It was to the point where, you know, I love pro wrestling so much, I actually did it for years before I got all fucked up in battle damage.
Mm-hmm. Battle damage!
Yeah, so. So,
no.
I guess we should just bring it up to the people right now.
The main reason why we're doing the show, we mentioned that in the last episode of the regular show, we were going to talk about Mr. McMahon, the documentary that came out on Netflix a couple weeks ago now. The miniseries had 6 episodes. Taking a somewhat of a deep dive into the world of Vince McMahon, the guy that helped create professional wrestling as we know it today.
Well, what made wrestling mainstream? Because you know, wrestling has been around.
No, but that's why I said created what we see today is pretty much because we had it for years before, but bringing in the sports entertainment and making it, you know, more available to everybody, essentially.
Because, I mean, like, no matter what, it's like, you know, what is it? Lucha was, like, you know, like, started, like, almost, like, well over 100 years ago.
Right.
It's still thriving.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the Japanese wrestling, like, I want to say it started 50s or 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, but it really started becoming like, you know, real famous, like between the 70s and 80s. And then it had a big boom in the 90s, of course.
Yep.
And then, like, you know, after the fall, well, you know what? I would just say, let's just get into it because we can get into like, you know, no, because remember.
You can get into history forever.
Yeah, I'm saying it because with the fall of the territories and everything from like, you know, the 80s with the whole, you know, the birth and the growth of the, you know. Yeah.
See, but essentially literally what we're talking about leads directly into the whole documentary because that's literally the first episode. We have Vince McMahon.
Episode titled Junior.
Yeah. You have Vincent K. McMahon Jr., son of course, Vincent Kennedy McMahon Sr.
He wasn't Kennedy.
Well, no, he wasn't. That's right. You know, he wasn't. Sorry. But yeah, and, Vincent McMahon Sr.
Yeah. But it was Vincent J. McMahon. Figured what the J was. It's kind of funny. I just went joking around, even though I don't know. I want to say it was Julius.
It could be. It could just be Jobber. We don't know.
I don't know, man, because he did run the top territory, like, you know, in the Northeast, you know,
the top territory of the Northeast. He was the big Northeast guy.
And, you know, even though his focus at the time was more like, you know, more, you know, heels versus faces and all that stuff, mm-hmm. like, you know, having like over the top personalities versus like other territories where they focus more on the actual wrestling itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then what is it? Places like Memphis and everything like that focus more on like, you know, making it more real as in, well, wrong word, you know, but you know what I mean? Like more legit as in mm-hmm. like they were more roughneck style, you know?
Yeah. More heavy hitting.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, but the thing that really gets me with this is that when they first introduce him, when they introduce him and everything like that, and they start showing all the talking heads that were about to,
And
to
they had a
come
lot of
on.
talking heads in it too, which is a great
Yeah.
thing.
I was just surprised that there were some people that weren't in there, but at the same time, they, when it comes to the, like going as a whole, because they did have to whittle all this down to, 6 hours or, six episodes, right? That there were a lot of people that they could have talked to that weren't on there. But going back to it, it introduces like, the early life of, of Vince, and it was one of those things where you kind of find out that he was, like he grew up poor until at the age of 12 that he actually got to meet his biological father, and then he talked about stories of that he had issues with his stepfather that used to, apparently beat him and stuff, and a lot of the stuff that they introduced in the beginning of like showing like because they showed like highlights of of how the Mr. McMahon character in the at the time WWF to WWE was like this over the top like maniacal dude, right? It kind of gave like a pre like like a prelude or pre prerequisite of what you should expect when it comes to the individual, even though later on in the series that that he states, this isn't how I really am. And yet
Right.
the
What you
other
see is what I want you to see.
But then the other talking heads were just like, yeah, that's how he kind of is in real life.
Right, yeah. He tried so much to make it seem like everything that we see as far as, the general public seeing what they're putting out, he was making it seem like, oh yeah, that's all a ploy, that's all a show. But in reality, when you hear from other people that actually were within the guts of everything, they're t basically telling you like, that wasn't a show. It was all there. It was all real. That's how we did it all the time.
Yeah, and then the whole thing was when he did meet his father, that's when his father introduced him to the world of pro wrestling, and he fell in love with the whole spectacle of it. But when Vince decided in his life that he wanted to pursue it, to make it his own, right? He had this vision of what he thought it could be, right? So once he, decided to ask his dad, like, if he can buy the promotion off him, and they cut a deal, and Vince gave up a lot of his personal, like personal funds and other stuff. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he a lot of it
Yeah,
was for
we
his
get
own
it.
money and stuff like that,
Yeah.
and he bought it off his dad, and then he started, the first one of the first things that he did was before he did all that he got into the business as a as a commentator and as an interviewer. So from there, that's like I said, he developed more and more,
He started to slowly develop the persona
yeah, but
and his voice as far as,
yeah, before the whole over the topness, but that's that, that comes later on.
Of course, of course.
But yeah, so once he got the, he got the promotion, he bought the promotion from his dad, that's when he started to like, because his idea was that he wanted to make this, he wanted to make this mainstream.
Huge.
He
He
wanted
wants to, yeah.
nationalize it. That was his first goal.
Instead of it just having just a little bit, they wanted to build it so that we could have more.
Yeah, so from a territory, he wanted to grow it out. He wanted to expand it. So what he started to do was that he was starting to go to other territories and like kind of like, picking the top stars from those territories, offering the promise of more money and everything like that. And it was one of those things. It was like taboo, and it was kind of like, you always had a gentleman's agreement when it came to the territories that, you don't try to, undercut or step over, you know, another territory. It was like, you know, the invisible line, if you will. Like, you know,
Yeah,
like,
you don't
you
cross that
know.
line. Because what it is that they everybody had, for the most part, they had like not necessarily contracts, but they had an agreement. And within this agreement, you had to do certain things. And when you would get paid a certain amount of things, you would have a certain amount of days, you had a certain amount of things to do within the program itself. And when Vince McMahon came around, he was like, "Oh, I'm about to give you some more than what you got over here. Come work for me." So it's essentially what it was.
Yeah.
And
So.
everybody was like, "Wait a minute. You said that we were going to be cool." And in him taking the big people from these other little territories, a lot of these other territories went under.
Yeah, they started it slow. It was slowly declining, and things like, you know,
Yeah.
things like that. Because the whole thing was originally, like when it came to the WWF, a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of wrestling fans from other territories weren't a fan of it because, you know, they were like, you know, this is, you know, a little too silly of a wrestling, you know, wrestling versus what we provide you. But at the same time, since you're poaching the top stars to work for this promotion, you know, you're losing basically the best of the best. You know, with this promise of like, all right, you know, our idea is to, you know, we're gonna make this work, and we're gonna make this bigger than it, you know, than it will ever be.
And
And honestly,
essentially, in all actuality, he really did.
yeah, he did, because, you know, oh, and that was another. This was another thing that I found, like, you know, kind of like crazy and hilarious at the same time, that in that episode he was like, he never liked the term of pro wrestling. Like, you know, because he was just like, it's big, you know, like in his
It's
words,
bigger than that.
paraphrase that, yeah, it's bigger than that. That, you know, this is entertainment. So I was like, okay, like, you
Hence the
know.
whole sports entertainment shit that they decided to come out with.
Yeah. So from there, when everything, you know, was when everything was pretty much like, you know, starting to go at the time, you know, Bob Backlund was their world champion. And, you know, for the idea that Vince had, you know, to try to start to, you know, to try to, you know, get this, you know, to start making it, you know, to,
To flourish,
yeah,
to
to flourish
build.
and, you know, to nationalize everything, you know, he needed a star. In comes Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, whatever, was wrestling, I believe, I want to say, was the AWA for Vern Gagne. And, you know, he already was an established wrestler. But at the same time, like, you know, he was, you know, he was there.
He was their top star.
Yeah. But he was there in the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, you know, beforehand. But, you know, I think what is when he went to go do Rocky III, that Vince Senior was just like, you know, if you do this, we're gonna let you go. And Hogan was just like, you know, of course, paraphrasing, fuck you, I'm making this movie. And honestly, this is what helped him to be, you know, to make a name for himself.
And not
You know,
even just
good.
him. That's he because once the people saw that he was a wrestler and that they saw him in this movie, they were like, "Oh yeah, let's see what else he does."
Yeah.
And they saw that he was in the WWF or the WWWF.
Yeah. No, actually, no, but remember before that, like, since he was let go and he went to go do this,
Yeah,
he did
that's
go
when
back to, you know, he did go back to the AWA. And then, you know, Vince kind of like, you know, hey, come here.
Come on back.
Hey, come here. You want
Come
to,
here. Come here.
you want to come back or whatever? I'm going to, you know, I have an idea of making you our, you know, our champion. And, you know, we're going to get this thing, you know, this ball
We're
rolling.
gonna make you a star.
Yeah, we're going to make you a superstar.
Mm
So, you know, Hogan was like, you know, I like your gym, brother. You know, so, you know, and that's when the momentum started. And so what they had to do was, because they still had this thing of that they wanted to have, they never really wanted babyface versus babyface. Like, that was more of a thing later, you know, kind of like for like special occasions. But for like when it came to title, you know, title changes, they always wanted to do, you know, face versus heel. So in comes everyone's favorite person, rest his soul, the Iron Sheik. And the Iron Sheik beats Bob Backlund. Iron Sheik is champ. not for so long, because the idea was, because, you know, Iron Sheik was going to be the transitional champion. So from there, that's when in MSG, you know, even though Hulkamania was kind of started, it kind of started originally in the AWA, the official, like, you know, nationalized launch of Hulkamania was when he won that title in Madison Square Garden.
Yep. That's what decided to run wild.
Yeah. So, and it was one of the biggest things. Is also at the time, that's when you had that whole, you know, that there was the whole, you know, war against, you know, or whatever, Iran or whatever, or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but, you know, it was, there were, there like, the idea of the foreign menace, you know, was really big, especially against Iran. And the Iron Sheik at the time was one of the biggest heels in the WWF.
Absolutely.
So when Hogan wins this thing, this is what you know, kind of kickstarts everything. You know, and then from there, the idea was that you were, okay, so now Mario? Hey, buddy. So, yeah, so from there, that's when Vince has this idea that what he wants to do is he wants to develop this, you know, why don't we have a big event like the Super Bowl, but for wrestling? Now, my question is this, though. I got to look it up, but I was going to be like, wasn't there Starrcade, which was kind of like that, you know, like that, but I don't know. Like, I want to say Starrcade was like maybe before around the same time. I don't know. Like, but you know, but what I thought was funny was that they neglected to mention this, which is a minor thing, that Vince McMahon came up with the idea, but they didn't have a name for it. The late Howard Finkel, the Fink, was the actual, the person that, you know, came up with the name of WrestleMania. Yeah. I mean, the idea of WrestleMania, of having like this big super show, or whatever.
Like the super, like you mentioned, the superb owl of season of the year, would be WrestleMania.
And the idea was that he, you know, that they wanted to mix pro wrestling with all forms of entertainment. That's the reasons, like, you know, they had, you know, Cyndi Lauper and Liberace and Muhammad Ali, and, you know, and
pull out the big guns.
Like, you know, like, you know, you're gonna, you want to have people from all, you know, from all,
from all walks of life.
Yeah. So with the success of this, you know, of the first WrestleMania, right, you know, this is like, you know, the beginning. So now we go into episode two.
Episode
Heat.
Yeah.
So not Sunday Night Heat, but that's way.
No. It's Saturday Night main event, though.
Yeah, so that was, so, well, with the success of WrestleMania and, you know, Sunday's main event, you know, it was kind of a negative thing because of this popularity. They, you know, the idea was like, all right, now these, you know, we're starting to get this, this ball rolling. Now our wrestlers are going to have to work on stuff. Usually, back in the day, especially working in the WWF, they were working like almost 7 days a week. Like, I can't even say almost. It was usually they worked every day.
They worked at least 300 days a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things before
Mario said Starrcade was 1983.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it was, you know, the idea of a big supercard was kind of an idea. But like I said, you know, Vince McMahon or whatever wanted to nationalize
it. Taking the ideas for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you know, he Columbused it.
Yeah, he really did. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, so because of this, you know, Jesse Ventura, which was, you know, at the time, the color commentator, you know, for WWF, you know, what he wanted to do was he wanted to look out for the boys, you know, and he wanted to, you know, to organize a union. But someone decided that ain't working for me, brother, and decided to, you know, to rat on Ventura to the big boss.
Yep.
Because the idea was that if, let's say, if somehow at the last minute, if they didn't unionize or anything like that, they were all going to walk out from WrestleMania and Vince would have been, you know, would have been in big trouble. But because of Hogan, you know, kind of, you know,
throwing the kibosh on everything.
Yeah. So McMahon, as a businessman that he was, met with everyone individually and was just like, I heard about this meeting. And if you go to whatever, I'm just going to let you go. And, I'm going to find every kind of way to, make sure that you don't work again.
Yep.
So.
And at that point, he could because he was the main person everywhere.
Yeah, because, like I said, that this, like WWF with the success of WrestleMania was just steamrolling forward.
Mm-hmm.
Then of course they mentioned WrestleMania 2, which, was,
it was okay.
It did okay.
It was okay.
But there were so many personal problems in it. Like they were having technical issues. And the idea that they had was that they were going to have it in three different, venues. Mm-hmm.
A simulcast all over. Yeah, the
exactly.
Place.
Because this was before pay per view, so this was mm-hmm. closed circuit TV.
Yep, closed.
So, So, even though it did well,
mm-hmm.
there were just a lot of flub ups, but it didn't. It wasn't as big as the original WrestleMania. So then the next idea was that we gotta go bigger. So this is when. They kind of fast forward to what led to the main event of WrestleMania 3.
Yep. Which was one of my favorite. Well, my favorite WrestleMania of all time.
Yeah.
That's the one that got me into wrestling was WrestleMania 3.
Well, I've been watching wrestling forever, but I would say this, my favorite WrestleMania of all time, or at least my favorite WrestleMania of all time, even though not the greatest WrestleMania, WrestleMania 10. Because I had my favorite match of all time, which is Bret versus Owen. But let's nice. We can
just fair.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so so they had the match set up, or they're trying to set up this match between Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Andre the Giant, before all this was occurring, that they wanted to present Andre the Giant with the idea, Andre was recording or shooting
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Yep.
So the whole thing was that the idea that they presented to him was we want you to main event, for the title at WrestleMania 3. The whole idea was to put Hogan over, but apparently, Hogan was just like, I didn't know what was going on, and all that stuff. But the one thing that they kind of got wrong, but I guess maybe more for purposes of to sell it, Andre didn't get his surgery, I think, until after WrestleMania.
Okay.
But, to make it sound more,
Yeah, to make it more, for the people.
Yeah, yeah, and the other thing that they were saying that apparently Andre the Giant has been undefeated for 15 years. Yet Andre the Giant was beaten plenty of times, and then the
but
other
it just
thing
wasn't
was,
recorded.
No, it was recorded.
No, but I'm talking about as far as WWF or whatever.
Yeah, but the whole thing that really gets me is this: it's old school wrestling fans have been like, "Well, that's kind of not true," but I guess for purposes
Well, that's like saying a person's record in AEW when they go over to WWE. Doesn't exist. They're like, oh, he wrestled, but where? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count. He wasn't here, so it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, so, I mean, he still has a name. We respect him. Even if he's a former champion, but, it's not a WWF title.
Right. That championship means nothing to us.
Yeah, even though he's a former world champion.
Right.
And a promotion we don't really care for. Right. WWE, relax, dude. Still a championship. Yeah.
Calm down. He still worked.
So yeah, so and then the other thing that made it funny was that apparently that they were saying that Andre never gotten slammed, but yet he has been slammed, plenty of times, by Hogan.
Yeah, yeah.
I can tell you the other workers too. There was Kamala.
Yep.
Big John Studd. Standard Larry Hansen. Giant Baba, I believe. I want to say Inoki, I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, but there were plenty of people that had body slammed Andre.
Yeah.
But to sell this thing, they were just like, no one can take the Giant off his feet.
Yeah.
This 15-year undefeated monster. And then this is the first time that Andre was portraying, well, first time in a long, like in a long time, because most of his career he was a babyface.
Yeah.
So with the, you know, and then with the, and then the other thing is that when they had it at the Pontiac Silverdome, mm-hmm. right? They claimed it as, what is it?
The biggest WrestleMania ever.
No, no, which it could be true.
Yeah.
Like,
because right. they said well, that
at the time, you know, but
right at the time, but they said they had like 96 million people, like 96,000 people there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the whole thing was just like, you know, there have been like debates upon it. Like they were saying, like, you know, listen, you know, there was no way because the capacity of the, you know, the thing was like 77.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just, you were trying to sell.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing.
Make it seem like it was an extraordinary thing. Something that people have never seen before.
And with this, you know, and now with this victory at WrestleMania 3, which made it a great success because, you know, of course, this pushed, you know, this gave, like, it propelled Hogan's stardom even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then at the same time, when this was happening, right, you know, this is when they started coming out with the whole, the, you know, the steroid scandal. And then there was mm-hmm. the first, you know, sex scandal, which was, I believe it was the Rita Chatterton, the Rita Marie,
yeah, the referee. The referee, yeah.
But they go into more into it later on.
Yeah.
And then,
cause she was the first one to actually start putting out, lawsuits and like talking to lawyers about, this man proposing, like, giving you money for sexual favors and stuff.
Yeah, so now from there, and then that's when they, you know, kind of teased the whole thing of, after the success of WrestleMania, then Hogan started, like, his popularity started to decline and stuff like that. Like, you know, they even had, they had a, like, you know, to try to continue with his, success. That they even had him against Sergeant Slaughter, who, you know, at mm-hmm. that time, you know, was a, you know,
yeah.
Iraqi sympathizer.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun time.
Yeah. And then, dude, it got so bad that Slaughter's family got threatened. His wife uh-huh. got threatened.
Yeah.
He got threatened. So they had to kind of, like, you know, simmer it down, especially around the time.
That simmered down a lot. Because back then, dude, that was, fucking, yeah.
What was it, Desert Storm?
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, around the time of the night.
So yeah. So they had to like they calmed down. Like I mean, it was still there, and Hogan won. But at the same time, people were getting tired of the you know the whole you know I am a real American. Mm-hmm,
exactly. Yeah.
But so yeah. So like shortly after,
because they ran into the ground pretty much for the.
Yeah. Well, with the thing with the whole you know the you know the steroid scandal and everything like that, you know it. It started like you know like at that time that people were starting to get kind of upset with a lot of you know the stuff that was going on with the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
So and then this like I said you know and then with Hogan his popularity started going down because you know people were just like you know like with anything
yeah
and with fame like you know one minute you'll be up the next minute you'll be down
absolutely yep.
So. This from there, that's when they, you know, fast forward to what was it, WrestleMania 6,
mm-hmm.
where he went against Ultimate Warrior to pass, you know, to pass it. And then shortly yep. after decided, you know, that he was going to quit the business.
Yep.
But after, you know, quitting the business and actually, you know, going into TV and movies, right? WCW decided to like, you know, like, hey.
That's around the same time WCW started. It was around that same time.
Well, no, WCW's been around forever.
Well,
remember, they were
getting bigger. Like, and because the reason I'm saying WCW really started was because that's when Turner bought it, or Ted Turner bought WCW, giving it.
Yeah, because remember, more Turner play. Whatever had wrestling. Mm-hmm. I want to say, was it Georgia Championship Wrestling? I think it was yeah. something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but yeah, but it wasn't like, I want to say it was an offset of NWA, but still, you know, it was that whole thing that he's had wrestling on his network. Mm-hmm. I think Turner said since 73.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it was just, it wasn't as popular as the World Wrestling Federation.
Mm-hmm.
So when Hogan decided after, you know, to step down and everything like that and retire from wrestling, you know, that's when he met with Bischoff, and
yeah,
Bischoff
during Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah,
that was a great show. I used to love it.
Yeah, so that's when he dangled that carrot of, you know, cash. Uh-huh. And yeah, you know, Hogan,
he's like, "We'll give you more money. You can work less days, and you can actually do the show as much too as you want."
And his reply, paraphrasing, "That works for me, brother. Well, let me tell you something. You know, but yeah. So then from there, we go to episode 3, Screwjob.
Yeah.
Screwjob, they begin with, they show how Wendy Richter, you know, lost her title, that, you know, this is one of the first, like, you know, publicized like screw jobs in wrestling, you know. So because I think, what was it that Richter was losing her popularity and everything like that and stuff like that, and so they decided to put the belt on Spider, you know, where you find out it was on when she was unmasked, the Fabulous Moolah.
Yep.
So it was so messed up, because when they go for the, you know, for the surprise, you know, the small package, right? One, you see clearly, clear as day, yeah, Richter, you see, you know, that she has a shoulder up, yep. But the referee still, 2, 3.
Yeah.
But then, you know, so, oh, she was pissed. You saw it. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and she even said it. She was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, from there, they're still going through the whole, you know.
At this point, pretty much, you could pretty much say that Vince McMahon was acquitted of the testimonial as far as, you know, the steroids at the same time.
Yeah, but then they decided to bring another thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, when they arrested this dude, the doctor.
Yeah, yeah, for the steroids, yep.
Yeah, so the whole thing was that they wanted to, you know, hey, why don't, you know, and then I think it was also, was it here too that they talked about the Ring Boy scandal? That's later on.
I think that was the first episode.
No, that the Ring Boy scandal, whatever, was in the first episode. I think they brushed upon it, but when they went into detail, you know.
Because, well, because it was around Pat Patterson, so it's probably the second episode. They just glossed over. They didn't really say much about it, other than the fact that, you know, a lot of
these. No, but my favorite line is so fucked up, was fucking Tony Atlas or whatever. Pat Patterson touched me in the pecker.
He was always touching my pecker.
Yeah. It wasn't pecker.
Yeah.
You're touching my pecker. My what? So then the interviewer was just like, couldn't you just go to Vince and talk about this? And Tony Atlas just started laughing.
He started dying.
He was like, he was the booker.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, they'll let go of me before they let go of the booker. But because, you know, they were on trial for that too.
Yep.
You know, they, you know, that's like, it was just, they let go of two other people, which, you know, because it was, the whole consensus, especially when they interviewed Brett, they were just saying, like, you know, like, some of the boys knew what was going on. A lot of them didn't know, like, how, like, you know, how far it was going.
Yeah.
Until, you know, they, you know, that they brought this to, you know, to court.
Yeah.
But
and this was the same point also, that with the scandal and everything that was going on, they wanted to bring in new people, and one of the new people that they brought in was Bret Hart.
Yeah, but then that's what, yeah, so that's when you know, the beginning of what was known as the New Generation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, but yeah, but now going back to this, to the whole thing. So, you know, they continue, you know, going around when it came to the U.S. versus Vince McMahon, right? And, you know, and he was acquitted after, you know, Hogan's testimony, because they apparently had some kind of thing like, you know, listen, if you don't, go, you know, if you don't go on stand or whatever, you know, you'll be put away. So, but as a favor to McMahon kind of thing, like, you know, at least that's how I took it, that, you know, he kind of said, like, you know, oh, you know, like, you know, he never made us do it, like, you know, we had the doctor that, you know, that,
yeah,
that gave it to us, but he never told us to do it,
right?
So because of all that and stuff like that,
The doctor took the fall.
yeah, and he
Because
was
he wound up
acquitted.
doing time. The
Yeah.
doctor wound up doing time for all that shit.
So this is around the time where, with the whole, with the whole, like, the where Ho they bought Hogan, and then they started, WCW started, shelling out money to try to get other stars. So they got, like, they got Macho Man, they, they got, and then later on, this is when you find out about the whole thing of Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, or in WWF, Razor Ramon and Diesel, Big Daddy Cool. So this was, a lot of, like, when it came to this, this is when their contracts ran up, both Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, right? When Scott Hall was going to leave, that's when they had the match in MSG. It was a, I forget the main event. I think it was Diesel versus Sean. And since they were both going, and Hunter, and they had their the click. People knew about the click, but it wasn't like out there
It wasn't
until they
widely,
had,
publicized.
until they had this the curtain call. So, a lot of old school wrestlers got upset because, they broke kayfabe. And you already know, especially when it comes to wrestling, you never break kayfabe, bro. That's why, like, back in the day, whatever, especially, it was a little, like, it was a little easier because you didn't have, like, as much television and paparazzi and stuff like that. Like, it wasn't as big. So, but when it came to, traveling around, even though, let's say, for example, if your best friend, like, you're traveling with your best friend down the road and everything like that, you're the biggest baby face and he's the heel, you would have to stop at, like, by the edge of town, go, have someone else pick you up, like, to drop you off at a different hotel and everything like that. Like, it was a whole thing of, like, like I said, the whole thing of you never break kayfabe, man. Like,
So
but
that way the people, the fans know, or the fans see you as whoever you're with is usually the bad guys. You don't hang around with the good guys. Good guys hang out with
yeah.
good guys, bad guys hang out with bad guys.
Even like when they had shows and everything like that, especially when it started getting bigger, that's why you would have two different locker rooms. That, heels with heels, baby faces with baby faces. And if you had to talk with them, like, to try to go over, like, go over matches and stuff like that, they try to find a way to kind of get you to, like, but I'm just digressing or whatever from that. But let's just go back to you. So yeah, so after all this happened, right, they, Sean got in trouble for it, but he kind of, like, since he was, like, the more popular star at the time and everything like that, that's when they were just like, well, someone's gonna have to pay for this. So, Triple H at the time had to eat shit. So, he was the one that he was supposed to win that year's King of the Ring, but that didn't happen. But then you find out later on, what happens. But now going back, this is when they start to, they introduce the Outsiders in WCW, and this is like the start of, like, oh man, WCW, oh my God, well, what are they gonna do
It's
next?
different. And this was live. This was live
Yeah, and
because
WWF and the WWF at the time or whatever, a lot of times they were,
Raw was
Raw
taped.
was, yeah. So fucking Bischoff at times would just read off certain, like, certain results because, like, hey, we had people that went to the, like, sometimes or whatever, they would just get through the dirt sheets or the, like, people thing, but they would get the results and just read it on air because it's like, fuck it, we're live. We do what we want.
Why would you watch the other show when it's recorded and I can tell you exactly what happened over there?
Yeah, so now at the time or whatever, it was between, like, the champions at the time were, like, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, but Bret Hart was one of the biggest baby faces that they had at the time. And, he was doing really well. And then when his contract was coming, well, his contract wasn't coming up. It was the whole thing of they, he signed a big deal with McMahon, but because of the declining ratings and everything like that, they weren't able to pay off his his contract. So they were just like, listen, if you want to go to make more money, whatever, that's fine. But, they didn't really hint at it or whatever, but they're kind of like, well, you're gonna have to like drop the title. But the problem was his last match was gonna be at Montreal at Survivor Series 97.
Yep.
They said like that apparently he Brett was supposed to go over.
Yeah.
But McMahon or whatever was scared of like what if they make Brett do something in WCW that will make us look even worse?
Yep.
So this is where the whole thing of the the controversy of the Montreal screw job.
Yeah.
Where
which was Sean, it's a fucked up story.
Yeah, it is. And it was it was a good back and forth match and everything like that. And mm-hmm. at the end, Sean, put Brett in the sharpshooter and Vince going crazy on the outside, rang that bell, rang the fucking bell,
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they rang the bell and this dude, this dude Sean won.
Yeah.
And Brett was fucking livid.
Yeah. He was pissed. He was pissed. He was so mad. He got up and he flicked Vince off, because Vince, of course, being the egomaniac that he was, or that he is, he came up front and he was like literally in front of the ring. He was like, "Yo, look, I'm the one that did this shit." Like,
yeah, like Vince had like, because Vince was kind of scared that he was going to do something to Sean.
Yeah.
Even though Sean was in on it, kind of
not kind of, he was in on it. He knew.
No, but. I want to say, Vince was more the mastermind with everything or whatever, which is Shawn,
As always, yeah. It's Vince. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not defending Shawn Michaels in any kind of way, because you already know I'm not a Michaels fan, but whatever. Mm-hmm. He didn't just flip them off. Remember, he spat him right in the face in a fucking eye.
Yeah.
But about the old school Raw song, "Put in your eye."
He was the original Haktua.
Yeah, Iron Sheik was.
Yeah.
But I digress.
But he did spit on that thing.
Yeah, he spit on that thing or whatever. He spit on that $1 billion thing. But so from there, afterwards they show shots in the back where he confronts Sean and he's screaming like, "Did you know about this?" And of course Sean like saying like, "I had no idea about this."
Yeah.
Even though he's lying to his face, because of course Vince told him,
mm-hmm.
"Do not tell him that you knew about this." You know.
And then Triple H was back there too, and Triple H was one of the ones that was like, "Yo, like, just get the shit out of it."
Yeah. But then, this was like, that even Vince, then Brett actually confronted Vince in the back and everything like that, and, caught him good. Because uh-huh. remember, the next night, Mr. Man with that black guy.
Yep.
But
good
yeah,
times,
so.
Good times.
Yeah. So now we go into episode 4.
Yeah.
Attitude.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun one.
Oh. So, after the whole thing of the Montreal screw job, and the whole thing of the rise of WCW and the and they were getting killed in the ratings. This is when they had to, they were trying to bring the whole thing of the whole Attitude Era. So the one thing that really kind of like ushered it in was the rise of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, the one thing that they didn't mention was that Steve Austin was in WWF before becoming Stone Cold. Because if you remember, he was with the Million Dollar Man, and he was the ringmaster.
Yep.
But they didn't mention that. No. That's not important.
Why would they mention that? Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, it's just like, I guess if you have like a Stone Cold documentary, you kind of like, mention like the rise of Steve Austin, then you can kind of bring that up. So now, like with the with the rise of Steve Austin, especially after the the King of the Ring, mm-hmm. where the introduction of Austin 316, and that's the bottom line.
Yep. Between him, Stone Cold, and then also that's around the same time that The Rock actually starts to gain popularity. Also, after his Rocky Maivia shtick didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
When he joined the Nation of Domination.
Yeah, and then that's when where Dwayne actually had to go to McMahon and go like, "Listen, let me talk. I can do this."
Yeah.
And it proved that he had some mic skills.
Mm-hmm.
So when he became heel, that's when he started becoming popular. I like, honestly, whatever, like, kind of sidetracking. I remember when I went to MSG and they had signs, dude, fucking die Rocky die.
Yeah. And, not even just that, you hear in the crowd. You hear, dude, the crowd going crazy.
Do you want to know how bad it was? And MSG, they sold shirts. Die Rocky
really?
Die.
Really? Wow.
I mean, I don't know if they were official WWF
probably
at the time
not.
Shirts or whatever,
not.
But they were selling it at the event, dude, in the fucking merch stand.
Wow.
So
definitely not progressing tees.
Yeah. Yeah, man. PWTs. That's the best. PWTs or whatever. So and this was around the time when he had the feud with Shamrock. But you know what? I'm just like, you know, thing. But let's go back to it. So,
the biggest people that rose in the Attitude Era, of course, we got Stone Cold, we had The Rock, and also DX. It was pretty much the beginnings of DX as well.
Yeah. And then what I also love is that with the Attitude Era, like, they should have brushed upon it. Like, the main reason why they got a lot of stuff from the Attitude Era was, and I still say to this day, the Attitude Era was just copying a lot of stuff from ECW.
Well, they did mention it. They did mention ECW.
No, they did mention ECW, that it was like, you know, a lot of influence. And this was around the time where ECW was getting a lot of their top stars taken from them.
Because
you remember, they a lot of dudes from ECW went to WCW.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, a handful went to WWF.
Yep.
A la Austin. A la Pillman. But, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, now, this is when they go into
we forgot to mention before we get there. We forgot to mention how Vince McMahon was mad about WCW taking his people. When he said he never took anybody's people.
No. That he was saying, how can you take something from a man that, you know, that started a family business.
Right.
And I love that the interviewer also kind of mentioned the whole thing of, like, you know, but you kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
It was like, it's not the same. It was like, but it is.
It's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. You were being a freaking conniving little fuck, dude. What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying it's always that whole thing of playing the victim or whatever. Like, you know, you can do all this mess up stuff, and when it happens to you, it's like, oh, poor me. I can't believe this happened to me.
So you can pretty much say that McMahon was being a Karen. At that point,
Mr. McCarron.
Yeah.
But now it goes into, of course, within the height of all that stuff or whatever. Now we go into one of the hardest things that they had to bring up in this episode, which was Over the Edge 99.
Yeah, because this was after Brett left. And his brother, that they were tagging together, they were doing all the things, and Owens pretty much left on his own in the WWE. And at that point, like, Vince was like, oh yeah, we're gonna give you this whole new gimmick, so that way people don't only see you as...
No, remember, he did it beforehand too.
Right, but they're pushing him again with it. And they gave him a big push for it, as a Blue Blazer, exactly.
Man.
And that was fucked up.
And mind you, he has done that same thing in the past with nothing happening.
Right.
It was just, it just so happens that during this pay-per-view that, you know, Murphy's Law, everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yep.
And his harness was fucked up, broke, and he fell to his death in the ring. Well, he didn't die then and there, but, you know, because I remember this, because I saw this pay-per-view live when I was in my friend's house. He did, when they were reeling him out, he gave a thumbs up. And then from there, that's when they, by the time they got to the hospital, he was pronounced, like, you know, dead. And they announced it on, to the TV,
Yeah.
but they never announced it to the crowd in the
Of
arena.
course, you pretty much watch somebody fall to their death, and then you.
And then the other thing that was kind of said was that you can see like the blood from where Owen was, like
The way he
where he
fell,
fell.
yeah.
And there was something that my friend brought up to me, which I'm trying to remember, that there was a match that they had blood or whatever. They were kind of like saying like it could have been Owen's blood, it could not have been, like depending.
Yeah.
But the one image that really got to me was you see Undertaker looking in the area where he knew Owen fell, and you can see in his face that he's trying to hold in emotion, but but like it's hard. Like, he's trying to
Yeah.
remain stone faced, but he
Yeah.
can't.
Yeah. But one of the biggest thing that came that like I was one of the things for me was like the fact that Big Man was pretty much saying the show must go on. He could have just stopped it there. But he was like, people came to watch a fucking show. We're gonna give them a show.
I
Which
think
at
it
that
hurt.
point, you should have just stopped it.
I think what hurt me more was that, they were at the time that Jeff Jarrett, which was his tag team partner at the time there, had to cut a promo, and you could tell that he's out of it. His manager was Deborah. She's crying and everything like that. She's scantily clad, and then he had to cut a promo talking about her puppies. They're trying to, the show must go on. They're trying their best to do it, but you could tell that they're out of it because I don't know if they knew at the time that that he passed. Like, they just knew that he had a bad accident and he was taken, he passed, they passed by him, with Owen's body, and he had to like try to maintain character, and
Yeah.
oof.
Acting.
Yeah.
It was bullshit, dude. It was.
Yeah,
And then the biggest thing about that too, like, of course they the McMahon was pretty much like, oh yeah, it wasn't our fault. It was fault of the company that sold us the things. They had faulty, things or whatever.
like he tried to brush it off. Like, he didn't
Yeah.
even like he didn't really like
He didn't take
apologize.
responsibility for it.
Yeah, like, it's like, dude, it still happened at your event, at your show. But I think what really hurt me was, and like this is what really got me emotionally, when Brett was like, for a long time he thought that this was done on purpose to get revenge at Brett for going to WCW. Like, he really felt like that for years until he got that call from the officer when they did the investigation and found out that it wasn't WWE's fault. It was faulty, the equipment. So it was, the fault of the people that were in charge of the equipment. Like that made the equipment. So that was that, like, that gave him like somewhat solace, but at the same time, you still lost his
No,
baby brother.
there's only so much solace you can have for having a relative die doing something that
Not
they
even a
love.
relative, dude. More your sibling, dude. Like,
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just trying to, like it's bullshit, like it sucks.
So the next episode 5, was a titled Family Business, where with the rise of the Attitude Era and everything like that, this is, what is it, WWF, they go public in the stock exchange. And they had like different different things, like, they had that's when they introduced the XFL and stuff like that. And they also had, remember, WWF World, which is the restaurant, which only lasted a few years.
But it
But
was a
yeah,
pretty cool place to be.
oh dude, fucking, you're gonna laugh. When I graduated from my first college, that's where I had my graduation dinner with my family.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so, but I digress. And I was also there when El Nino recorded their video at that show.
Nice,
That's
nice.
when I got to see It was Cold Chamber, El Nino, and Drowning Pool with the original singer.
Nice.
And Triple H came up at that show to sing Bodies with Dave Willis.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
All right. Now I'm fucking going.
That's way digress. That's tangent.
Yeah. But yeah, but going back. So from there, right, like, you know, by what was it, March 2001, mm-hmm. you know, with WWF, with the popularity, the Attitude Era and everything like that, and WCW was like, you know, just really losing in the ratings after being on top for 83 weeks.
Yep.
That's when, you know, I think they kind of brushed upon it, but Bischoff wanted to buy WCW, but
right.
Big McMahon, you know, came through and bought it for $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you know, and I'm going on a tangent, but at the same time, I think, what was it? Wasn't WWF bought for like $10 billion or something? Like that? I forget how much.
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, well, yeah. Yeah. With the.
Was it 10, 25? I don't remember, but.
It was a stupid amount of money. Yeah.
Dude, imagine that. You pay $2.5 million at the time or whatever for WCW. Mm-hmm. Yeah, WWF, when they got sold to, you know, to fucking Endeavor.
Yeah.
Made billions.
Yep. Stupid amount of money.
But yeah, so this is, you know, that's when, you know, they like, you know, WWF was like, you know, since they were popular, they were doing all this stuff, but XFL, you know, failed after mm-hmm. the end of the first season.
Yep.
And then a year after that, McMahon lost the world's, like that lawsuit from the World Wildlife Fund, mm-hmm. you know, overusing the WWF acronym. So this is when now Vince had to change it to World Wrestling Entertainment, mm-hmm. which I remember the whole thing of, I don't know if you remember the shirts when they had the new logo.
Drop the F? Or,
no, yeah, get the F out. F out.
Yeah, yeah, you get the F out, yeah. Yeah, Mario says it was $9 billion.
$9 billion. Yeah, like I said, like, you know, I want my promotion
$9 to be bought million for. $9 billion.
But yeah, so from there, this is, you know, after all this, this is when, you know, because of the absence of competition and everything like that, mm-hmm. you know, this is when they started getting a decline in ratings and creativity. And yeah. then this is around the time when The Rock, you know, was, you know, going, you know, becoming Hollywood Rock.
Yeah.
And I think, what was it? Also, Austin decided to walk out because, you know, at this time, it's just like, you know, he was hurt. They weren't really doing much for him. So this is now the introduction of what Vince McMahon initiated as the Ruthless Aggression era.
Ruthless Aggression.
And this is where they introduced the rise of, you know, John Cena.
Yeah.
But this is way before, you know, the babyface John Cena that everyone mm-hmm. started like chanting.
The babyface John Cena that nobody liked.
Yeah. Well, the Ruthless Aggression era was John Cena where it was just like, oh, this is someone different. Okay. Like, you know, mm-hmm. this is when he went against Kurt Angle, you know, like, well, what do you got, kid? Ruthless Aggression. And that's, you know, yes. And then, so
it just wasn't a fun time.
Yeah. And then, they also talked about, at the same time where, this is when he was having Vince was having a lot of disagreements with his or, you know, with his son Shane McMahon, you know, because mm-hmm. Shane McMahon wanted to do things to, you know, to try to, you know, because
increase business.
Yeah, but because of which, like, you know, because this is known now, whatever, that
the mess
at the time. Works. He wanted to purchase at the time the UFC.
Yep.
But Mr. McMahon was just like, why would I want to do that?
Yeah. Why would I want to put shed light on something that's actually quote unquote real as compared to us is one thing that he said.
Yeah. So And then other stuff was just like the whole thing of like behind the scenes that, you know, that kind of Shane kind of saw himself as like he was supposed to be the successor. But, you know, with the whole thing of Vince and the way that he was just like, you know, like, no, I'm gonna run this thing until, you know, I'm well gone. So,
So Shane bounced at that time.
yeah.
In 2009, Shane was like, I'm out. Deuces. And he went on his own thing. He went on his own little journey. Which led us to episode 6.
The finish.
Yes. And in this one, it's pretty much when we started to get a whole bunch of like celebrity shits to come through, and then.
Yeah, like the whole thing of like, you know, Trump versus, you know, McMahon, you know, yeah, Bobby Lashley and Umaga, WrestleMania 23 and stuff like that. And then they brought up the one thing which I thought they would never bring up, Chris Benoit. Even though it was kind of brief or whatever, you know, they went into it of like, you know, talking about that. You know, that McMahon was doing a storyline, like, you know, because he was going to step away for a bit, like, you know, just stay behind the scenes. And they had that death angle. But then after that happened, you know, that following weekend, that's when we found out about the death of Benoit. On Monday Night Raw, they had a tribute thing. They canceled the show from what I remember this. They canceled the event, and they had the, you know, like the whole Raw dedicated to, like, they showed like the best of Chris Benoit. And then what was it? The following day, this is when everything came to light about what happened.
Not cool what
So,
happened. Not cool.
I mean, I don't want to really get into it or whatever, but just know, like, you know,
It was fucked up. It was fucked up.
yeah.
Well, I'll say it. I'll say it. So, Chris Benoit goes home and essentially kills his whole family and then kills himself. He suffocates his wife and then, well, he suffocates.
No, he strangled his wife, I
Yes,
think.
he suffocates his son and then he strangles his wife.
No, he strangled the wife first, and then because, you know, the whole thing that he didn't want his kid to suffer, apparently, I think from what I remember from, you know, the articles, it was he choked his wife, suffocated his son, and he put Bibles on there, and then he hung himself with his weight set. And this is you know, and then this is when, of course, when everything came to light, that's when, you know, he became Voldemort, if you will.
A
Like, he
guy
could
that
not
shall
be named.
never be named.
And then from there, at the same time, former talent of WWE, Chris Nowinski, or Christopher Nowinski, that he was a, you know, neuroscientist, was, with the permission of Benoit's pops, was able to get Benoit's brain to, you know, to study it. To find out that, you know, at the time of Benoit's death, that his brain was that of an 85-year-old with I want to say Alzheimer's or dementia, something like that.
With
And
dementia.
this was due to all, you know, everything that he went through all this stuff. And this was the introduction of, you know, a chronic traumatic, I forgot, and so, fuck, but, you know, ECT,
CTE, CTE.
yeah. ECW. But you know, CTE. But yeah, so this was, you know, like, and the one thing that's really shocking in this episode was when Stone Cold was like, I don't believe in CTE. Wait a minute.
But this was also the same time that they were doing heavy chair shots, like chair shots straight to the head.
Yeah, and chair shots hit straight to the head, a lot of like dangerous, you know, bumps and stuff like that. Because remember,
And well,
Benoit
he
would do
was
the headbutt from
the
the top
diving
rope.
headbutt,
And of course, when he took moves, you know, he t you know he took those hard bumps. So with, you know, initially whatever, WWE was just like, I don't know about all this. And then when Chris Nowinski brought up his findings and everything, this is when WWE kind of updated their wellness policy. which is like the one good thing that came out of something tragic. I mean, it's not going to bring back, Nancy and what? Fuck, is it Daniel? Yeah, it's not going to bring them back, but at least this is like a step forward to prevent anything as such from happening again. And with these findings and everything like that, this also like implemented a lot of stuff of, I think it was in the NFL about, concussion protocols and all that stuff. So, something good came out of something so fucked up.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Sad.
And then they also kind of like, introduced the whole thing of, the whole thing of the behind the scenes when it came to the McMahon family of like,
Vince McMahon has pretty much started to step back a little bit.
Yeah,
And he
well,
wanted pretty much Stephanie and Triple H to run the show for the most part. But
yeah.
this was around the same time, just before, the WWE network started, that he wanted them to run the show for the most part, until at one point they decided to bring in Shane as well, because of course Shane always wanted to be a big old part of it. But
No,
Vince
but
was always like, no.
the one thing that we figured, like we kind of neglected to mention was that in the beginning of this episode, I think they kind of stated that McMahon, mentioned the whole thing that he has like three brains. Like, the like three different computers kind of thing. And I don't want to get into it, but it was just like,
He had the wrestling
okay.
brain,
The business
the work
brain,
brain.
and then his other brain or whatever. He's like, "What is that?
Family
What is that
brain.
brain thing about?" No, what was that other brain thing about now? Sex. So it was just like, okay. And then what was it? Halfway through the that last episode, that's when they brought up the whole thing of Janelle Grant. So by that time, this is when McMahon didn't want to continue on with the stuff, but they went over like some of the things that were like, they gave an abridged version, of course, of the stuff that went down. If you want to look at this stuff, like, to
There's plenty
see,
of it online. There's
like,
a lot.
there's a lot of like,
Fucked up
what?
shit. Fucked up shit. Of course, we all know Vince was a fucked up dude. But the shit that he was doing was like next level. What the fuck?
So I think the thing at the end when they were asking when the interviewer asked like all the talking heads, what would you say is the legacy of Vince McMahon? A lot of them couldn't answer. But Tony Atlas said it, like, that he said, great promoter. Like, he changed the business. Which he's not wrong,
No, he's
but
not wrong at
everyone
all.
else, everyone else that, like the talking heads and stuff like that, just like what can you say?
And the one thing that I did like is that, as far as the talking head that they had on this whole thing, was that you saw Paul Heyman, who was one of those dudes that never holds back in anything that he says.
Oh no, no, but I still say the one that was him, it was him. Tony Atlas was very like, he, like he said it, as it is. There were other, yeah, perka. He touched my perka. But yeah, but no, but in all seriousness and everything like that, it, like, and I've told people this in the past when I, when I used to wrestle, all right, that the locker room and everything was a lot different, but back then versus how it is now, like, and it's crazy because, like I've witnessed, a lot of stuff and things. Like, I'm not gonna say the depravity of like what happened in the 80s and early 90s, because I, when I started wrestling, like, it was, I mean, I trained. It was funny. I think I told the story that, I trained backyard wrestling, and when I was in backyard wrestling, whatever, one of my friend's dad was a pro wrestler. He was a former pro wrestler. And he had a pro wrestler train us so we can learn how to bump the right way. Like, he was like, if you can do this shit, you can do the shit right.
Right. No, that makes sense. I don't.
So yeah,
I
don't blame then, what is it? Too. After high school, when I started going to college, so like from like what is it? Late 99, early 2000. That's when I started going to wrestling school.
That's fair.
Yes, and you know, I went to three different wrestling schools, right? You know, and you know, two of them were like kind of like scams or whatever, and the third one that I went to was known as the Doghouse, and the Doghouse is where I learned a lot of stuff. This is where people like Low Key and Homicide came from, you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I went to that school. I went to that school with a lot of like my close friends, and you know, this is where we learned our craft. But yeah, but going like, you know, once I learned, like I started learning more and more and everything like that, and I started doing shows outside of the school, right? You know, I saw a lot of different things. Like I saw how locker rooms were, like, you know, and even at the time and everything like that, like, you know, it wasn't very friendly towards women, like, you know, but that was the thing, like, you know, like I said, but now it's totally different.
Right.
You know, hell, you know, it was just, you know, the culture, like the culture of everything back then was totally different from what it is now. You know, like you cannot do a lot of stuff.
Oh, of course not.
Back then, that, you know, like what was done back then now. But yeah. It's unbelievable, like, you know, of just to see this whole story, like, you know, how it played out. Like what I take away from it was that this was an interesting watch, but a lot of this stuff I already knew about him. It's being a fan of, you know, you know,
professional wrestling in general. Yeah.
Yeah. But even with that, it's just, you know, I grew up with WWF and then, you know, with the advent of the internet and everything like that, when you love something, you try to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, it's, what I wish they would have delved more, they would have gotten more into his personal life. But I, you know, even he said it, he wasn't going to give him everything.
Yeah. Because you don't, we're not talking about the personal life, we're talking about his professional life.
Yes. And, you
and
know,
even, and the thing is, like, a lot of that professional life bled into the personal life. Because, of course, you had your entire family on the fucking screen. There was one story that he was trying to tell that he impregnated his fucking daughter, dude.
Yeah, like, and the other thing was that he wanted to have, you know, his, what is it, Stephanie and Triple H's, you know, shoot wedding. I'm sorry, like, you know,
right, his real, their real wedding on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and they were like, no.
Yeah, like, dude, like, no, you need something for yourself. Yeah, not exactly. Everything can be on the big screen.
Yeah, everything can't compare to like Macho and Miss Elizabeth, even though they were married already.
Yeah, yeah.
Miss Elizabeth, will you marry me? But yeah, it, like, and then the other thing that, like I said, that there, that other stuff, like, you know, like they could have probably gotten into more of like certain things.
Oh, for sure. For a lot of things, not just certain, a lot of things.
Yeah, because like I said, a lot of stuff was just like, you know, like they gave you like an abridged version and stuff like that.
Kind of like we're doing here. We're like the cliff notes of the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting watch. I wasn't gonna say it wasn't bad, but I kind of expected more from the, you know, like with the trailer, I was expecting a little bit more. You know, was I entertained? Yeah, I was entertained. What do I think this was like, you know, like revolutionary? No.
No. Essentially it wasn't meant to be revolutionary. Because what this is was pretty much like, yo, this is something from a person that we've known our entire lives. You can just say that. We've known this person for our entire lives. And we've known that he's done some shit. And he's influenced a lot of things as far as like, okay, yeah, we love professional wrestling because of this person and what he's put out the entire time that we've been around. And
yeah,
what did he do? he did a lot of good things and he did a lot of bad things.
Yeah, but like, you know, the whole thing was this, was just like a lot of the bad things or whatever were very bad things.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of bad things. It's not cool. And like, it's some real fucked up shit he's done, but.
But what I told you was, after, like, you know, watching this, and I know I think I mentioned it in the past, I do hope that they do have like like, you know, like whatever,
another few extra episodes. Like, they usually do that. They usually have that.
Or like, you know, like snippets of things that didn't make it, but they feel like that should have been part of it.
So, according to other podcasts that I've listened to and other shows and everything, it's been pretty much, they have over 400 hours of recordings with Vince. But being that he's old, or he's gotten older, his voice is very much not comprehensible. So what we saw in the documentary are some of the things that actually made it through, because you could understand it.
Oh, did you hear the thing of that when they released the trailer, Big Man wanted to pull a Oprah Winfrey?
Of course.
You know, for those that don't get that, is Oprah Winfrey had what was it? I think it was the Apple did a like, you know, like a thing about her. Mm-hmm. And when she saw it, she didn't like it, so she decided to buy the thing so it won't be shown.
Yeah.
But Netflix was just like, eh-eh.
No. No.
We don't want your money.
Yeah. You're going to give us all of it.
And besides, we got your old company for $5 billion for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. The company's done. Like, they don't need to do anything anymore. Now that they're moving over to Netflix, which was now, right now, was the perfect time to drop this documentary, this miniseries or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, like, the thing is this, is like, it did show the history of, you know, of the WWE and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just like, at this time anyway, because now WWE is now, you know, under another, you know, like under another company, even though it's still WWE, right? Mm-hmm. You can kind of like disassociate McMahon from this. But then the problem is the whole history of WWF / WWE is McMahon.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the one thing. Like, you know, there's going to always be that asterisk, you know, especially like, you know, like kind of like the whole thing of when they brought up during the, like the steroid scandal. So.
Yeah, I get it.
But
yeah,
I think the other thing that I forgot to mention was that, what was it? Phil Mushnick was the dude that, you know, brought all this stuff to light when it came to the scandals.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like we totally forgot to mention his name throughout this thing when we were talking about.
We forgot to mention a few things. It's all good.
Oh, the Richard Belzer thing.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, dude. Or when, you know, when. Did we mention about No Holds Barred?
Nope, we didn't mention No Holds Barred.
Watch the small
dude. That's a great one.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, that's what, you know, I wish they would have gotten more into it. I think it was mentioned in one of the podcasts I listened to that McMahon did an in-depth interview in Playboy years back, mm-hmm. and it really got into, like, you know, his past, about, like, you know,
it's personal, a lot of personal stuff,
which I think if he would have mentioned that, I'm not gonna say he would have gotten sympathy, but it would have been more of like more of an understanding of the reason why he kind of turned out the way he did. But then we should all say allegedly, because he has, you know, these, you know, they, you know, these, This trial hasn't gone through yet. They're still doing, you know, the investigations.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, he's been indicted. You know, he sold his part, you know, his part of the company or whatever. He sold
the majority of the company, yeah, because he obviously doesn't have anything to do with the company anymore.
Yeah, so all his shares or whatever, he's like he sold it for like 100 something million. I forget. Mm-hmm.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, so, McMahon or whatever, you know, still, you know,
he sold 441 million dollars of TKO stock, which is all of the stuff from his company.
Yeah, so
after he resigned.
So yeah, so you know, he's set. But yeah, even with that or whatever, if he still
don't mean shit, if
he's
set.
No, he's saying, if he's not saying, dude, if he's found guilty, it's gonna matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was a really, really good documentary. It was a real good deep dive, or you know, a shallow deep dive, or shallow dive. There you go. That's the right word. Into the whole. Essentially, at one point, the McMahon dynasty, you can call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you should watch it. Whoever is into the
wrestling. Yeah, because like I said.
If you listen to this show, yeah, we only gave a super abridged version of it to shut it down to like about an hour and change.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, it is a good watch.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I just say that right now, like, you know. Like I can just put it like this: for someone who's not like a wrestling fan and wants to know more about him, you know, it is somewhat informative, you know. But even though, like I said, he holds stuff back,
mm-hmm,
you know. But people that are wrestling fans, like I said, the people know a lot of the history already.
Or even if you don't know a lot of the history, you have a gist of what is there to come.
Exactly. So
fun times.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for listening. Go to InnerCityGeeks.net. Of course, we got a whole bunch of stuff over there. We got this show now, again. We also got the InnerCity Geeks podcast, the regular show. We got Comics, Go Tomorrow, Manga Time, Anime World.
That's Mario stuff.
Yeah, that's Mario stuff. Who's in the chat? He's been chatting it up and being with us.
Yeah, but
yeah, we got a lot of stuff all over there. Bright J Presents. And you can listen to the show. All the places obviously listening to us now, but we are on Pandora, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Radio, and motherfucking Spotify. Check us out on all those places.
Spotify.
Check us out at all those places. You can also find us on the socials at InnerCity Geeks and Suplex City Geeks on Twitter, which I probably use that. I don't know. But yeah,
I guess we can use it when this comes out.
Yeah, we could use it. But you can find us on there. You could also find us on where, Alex? Where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at Deny, DINYED, and on Instagram at Deny, DIN period Y period ED. Where can we find you,
dude? Yes, you guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. That about wraps it up. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. Sitting here for the last hour 20 or so. Thank you again. And we'd like to wish you the best in all your future endeavors.
Yeah.